Matthew 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so, he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now keep focused. Verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore, you should have, put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one which hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him which hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the blessings of the week, and we trust you for continued blessing. And Lord, we need your mercies to be renewed every morning. And we need your blessing renewed every day. And so, Father, we come for another drink of water, for direction, for exhortation, for help. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. When I was younger, I enjoyed science class, particularly when I was in school. Now, some girls complain about having to dissect a worm. You should have had to dissect what we dissected. We had to dissect cats. Now, I'm not the kind of man that just likes to see animals killed for no reason, but men, this cat was already dead, you know, and I thought, hey, no sense in wasting a good cat body. So we dissected it and I had a great time. Sick joke, I know. Now, most of what I learned in my science classes, I forgot, but there was a lesson that we did that I've never forgotten. We made our own batteries. We took a copper coil, stuck it in a plastic container, filled it with battery acid, 2 lead sticks popped out of the top, and we charged it, and it held energy in it. It was actually a working battery. Now then, our instructor was trying to teach us about different kinds of energy. We hooked the wires up to that battery with a switch in it, and we hooked it up to a light bulb. And when we connected it by connecting the switch, it transferred the energy from that battery to the light bulb and made it shine. And the lesson was about kinetic energy and potential energy. And he was saying that the energy that's inside that battery is existing. It's there. It's potential. And it can do something. But sitting in the battery, it's not doing anything. And then we had to direct it to where we wanted it to go. And the way to direct it was through the wiring. Now, we could have hooked it up to something else. We could have hooked it up to a different light bulb. We could have hooked it up to a metal chair. If you sat on it, you would have gotten a shock. But we directed it to a light bulb. And then we connected the switch, and it then transferred that same energy that was potential from where it was to the light bulb, where it became kinetic. Now, when I remember that illustration, I think about what I see in our churches. We have so much potential. But D.L. Moody said that in order to reach a community, you've got to use that potential. And he put it this way. You've got to mobilize the layman. And he would say, we don't need a soldier. We need an army. And any time that you seek to make a huge splash in a community's pond, you've got to have many people that are working and using their energies for the Lord. Now, there's so much potential in our churches, and there's so much potential here tonight. And what I want to challenge us about is doing something with the potential that sits in this place, in you, in me. I look at these children, and I think of these little ones. I'm looking at Josiah here in the very back, and his buddy. They've been there every night. I think about how I surrendered to preach when I was in fifth grade. And I think about the potential of my brother who surrendered to preach when he was in second grade, and I'm thinking there's so much potential. I think about some that are up in years, and as you're up in years, you may not have the energy that you once had. That's true. But there's still so much potential in this room. And somehow we've got to be encouraged to turn that energy on regularly, purposefully, because there's so much need in the world, am I right? That we really have to utilize all of the potential that sits here to accomplish the most in the short time that we have left on earth. So this evening, we're going to look about potential energy, directing our energies where they need to go, and becoming kinetic, actually doing something with what we have and making a difference in the time that we have. Now, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die. I hope it's by eating too many Oreo double-stuffed cookies. But I don't know when I'm going to die, so you know what that means? I don't have time to sit back and say, well, one of these days I'm going to get around to doing something for God. I've got to get at it right now. And let's say that I only have 1 year left. If I have 1 year left, I'm 52. My brother died at 51. Is it possible that I could have 1 year left or less? Absolutely. I would like 365 days out of 365 days to count for something. But let's say I've got 35 years left. You know what I'd want? I'd still want every day of 365 days in the year of 35 years left to count. And I never will forget my brother Paul. He preached a message shortly before he died from cancer that I have never forgotten and will never forget. I've got a recording that I listen to it every once in a while. He preached the message, living in the light of dying. Now that is a powerful message. He says, you know what? I know most likely how I'm going to die. It'll probably be from cancer. He says, but I don't know. Maybe I'll die from a heart attack. It's most likely, he said, that I'll die before you die. He says, but I don't know. Maybe I won't die. I don't have an expiration written on the bottom of my foot. But he says, whenever God's done with me, that's fine. But until God's done with me, there's a job for me to do. And I never will forget him making every day count. And just before he passed away, two men carried him up into the pulpit where he preached so faithfully. He sat in a chair, but he preached the word of God on Sunday, and he passed away on Wednesday. And that's the way that I want my life to be, making it count while I can. And that's what I want to challenge us all about tonight. Now, the first thing that I want to draw our attention to tonight is potential energy. Now, who has potential to do something for God? Every human being who is a Christian. So every Christian has potential. Now, this particular passage is relating to the Jews. And if we try to fit the church in there in Matthew 24 and 25, we could get some wrong theology, but there's an application for us in that. There is a master who gave us a job to do, and he gave us abilities to do that. And he's gone away on a journey, and he's going to come back, and he's going to hold us accountable. Jesus gave us a commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of Jesus. And this is the job of the church age. And he's going to come back. And each one of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we've done. Now, we've each been given talents. The distribution of potential, we each have potential. Now, as you look at this, I want you to notice verse 15. It says, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, it's true that some people seem to have more talent than others. Greg Murray can preach, he can sing, he can play a trombone. He may be a 5-talent Christian. Mike Pelletier can preach, I can play an instrument. I may be a 2 or 3-talent Christian. You may be a 5-talent Christian, or you may only be a 1-talent Christian. But the issue is not, do you have something that you can do? You all have some potential. And the issue is not, do we have what it takes to serve God? The issue is, are we doing something with what we have? Now, God doesn't need a lot. One day, God looked down, and he saw a man by the name of Moses, and he said, Moses, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. He said, go show my power to Pharaoh. And he did. He went up to Pharaoh with a tongue that couldn't talk very well, and he did what God wanted him to do. And he dropped that rod on the ground, and it turned into a what? A serpent, a snake. And then he picked it up by the tail, and it turned back into a rod. Now, Moses didn't have much, but he used what he had, an old beat-up stick. And that's how it all started with him. And that's how it can start with you. Now, you'll say, well, I'm getting a pep talk. You're getting a Bible talk. God doesn't need something big. He just needs little things. And when you present those things to the Lord, he can do something with that. God looked down in another story, and he saw a young man by the name of David. And he said, David, you shepherd boy, I have a job for you. I want you to go defeat Goliath, the giant that everybody else is afraid of. And so he went, and God said, go get him. And the king tried to give him something big, like armor, impressive, like armor, a spear, the king's own sword. But David said, that's not what I'm used to. That's just not me. And he said, here's what I'm used to. And he took 5 stones and a sling. And it's a true story of how defeated Goliath. Am I right? Now, these stories are of real men, and they're put in the Bible to tell real men today that God doesn't need a lot from you, but he does need you to use what you've got. One day, God looked down, and he saw another by the name of Gideon. He said, Gideon, and the mighty man of valor. Gideon said, I'm not a mighty man of valor. I'm the one who's hiding over here trying to save my own neck. And he again said, you mighty man of valor, I've got something for you to do. And he said, go defeat the Midianites. And they took 300 men, clay pitchers, candles, trumpets, and they won that battle. And all of these are here. John chapter 6. There was a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the man Andrew said, what is that amongst so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men sat down. And he took of the 5 loaves of fish and ate as much as they would. gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And when it was all done, there were 12 baskets left. Now, what did God start with? A basket. What did he end with? 12 baskets. And in between, 5,000 men, then women and children. And all of these are stories that teach us that God just needs us to really take seriously this idea that he wants to use us. And it can be a boy, it can be a shepherd, it can be a it can be Moses, who's a scared man in his 80s. It can be somebody like you and like me. I was on a mission trip in Antigua, and they wheeled in a man in a wheelchair. And the man was very sick. His body was deformed, and it was sort of like a piece of cardboard. The only way they could sit in that chair was they strapped him across the waist to hold him in the wheelchair and across the chest and across his head. And his arms were flat like cardboard, his fingers were flat like this, and his body was very thin, his legs were very flat, he was very deformed. And the only thing the man could do was move his eyes, couldn't even hold up his head, and he still could speak. Now when they wheeled him in, I thought, how horrible that poor man to be in a body like that, he can't do anything. But when it came time for the man to ask how many people brought visitors, somebody said, Tom brought a visitor. He was the guy in the wheelchair. And so the pastor said, well, if you've come for Tom, we'd like to recognize you, because Tom couldn't. He couldn't talk loudly enough. And so if you've come for Tom, would you stand up and I'll introduce you. And I couldn't believe what I saw. Somebody sitting on the right side of Tom stood up, then on the left side stood up, then another down from him stood up, and then someone over here stood up, back there, over here, back there, and spread through the entire auditorium. And I counted 19 people that Tom and the withered up body got to that revival meeting. Now, you are here tonight. I don't see anybody who is in a wheelchair. I don't see anybody who has to be strapped up next to your wheelchair. But I do know this. Even if you had to be strapped to a wheelchair, you could do something for God. And if a man in a withered up body could do something for God, then anybody in here with a healthy body could. You say, well, I've never done anything for God. Doesn't mean you couldn't. Thou mighty man of valor. Gideon never did, but then he did. David did a few little things, but then he did some big things. And then you take a look at Moses. Moses did a few efforts, but nothing big came of it as he tried to deliver the nation. But when he was an 80-year-old man, after all those years going by, all those regrets, and all those years that you think, well, the best is behind me, the best was ahead of him. And I'm telling us tonight, we've got to get out of our head that we don't have what it takes to make a difference. Now, there's the development of potential as well. Now, notice what it says here in verse 15. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Then verse 16, he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He turned 5 into 10. Likewise, he had received 2, he also gained other 2, he turned 2 into 4. And there's an example of developing your potential. Now, you can develop your potential in many things. First time I went weightlifting, I can remember trying to lift some weight and I couldn't get it up. It fell down on my chest. I started laughing and I couldn't get it up. And I was about to die. And a big guy came by with one arm and he lifted it up and he put it on the weight bench, one arm. I felt like a dork. Now he told me, you're trying too much weight. Start with a little bit less weight, and when you get your muscle turned up a little bit, then you add a little more weight. And I did. And I developed my potential back then in those days when I was trying to do some lifting, and I could eventually lift a lot more than I originally attempted. Everybody understand? Now, you can develop yourself physically, but hear me. We have to strengthen ourselves for the ministry work too. Now, how many of you young people are taking piano lessons? Would you raise your hand? Don't quit. Develop your piano. Develop your ministry potential. How many of you are taking an instrument different than the piano? Would you raise your hand? Again, don't quit. Because if you quit, then 20 years from now, we're not going to have people that can use their talent. Now listen, I took piano lessons, and that was the foundation for my taking my euphonium up. And though I'm not a great pianist, I still use that at times. Do you know that there was an Easter Sunday when somebody needed a piano player, and I didn't know enough piano to do very well, but I said, if I practice this afternoon, I'll be ready for tonight. And we sang, Up From the Grave He Arose. And I played it and didn't miss too many notes. And I played a second song at Calvary because I already knew how to play that. And then I played a third one, Jesus Saves. And it all fit right into Easter. I haven't played a lot, but I played in rescue missions. They don't have anybody else, so I played. I haven't played a lot, but I've played in nursing homes. And what I'm telling you is you can develop your potential, and you need to, even if you only do it five times in your life. That's five times you could do something for God. And it's wonderful. Now, how many of you have been saved for at least 1 year or longer? Would you raise your hand, and then we've got to move on real quickly. Now, don't raise your hand on this one, and you know I'm for you, not against you, right? I'm trying to help us, not beat us. But those of you that just raised your hand, here's another question. Don't raise your hand to this. How many of you, if pastor were to ask you at the invitation when somebody goes to the back and wants to hear how to go to heaven, how many of you are comfortable who are in eighth grade or younger and know enough Bible verses to show another boy or girl how to be saved? Don't be embarrassed by how many of you are in ninth grade through 12th grade. Raise your hand. Ninth grade through 12th grade. Now, those of you, don't raise your hand. How many of you in ninth grade through 12th grade, if your youth pastor said, hey, come with me. Here's a young man, your age, a young girl, your age, and she doesn't know how to go to heaven. I need you to show her how to go to heaven, him how to go to heaven. Would you know how to show that person how to get to heaven? Listen to me. If you don't, you need to learn. If you don't, it's one reason. You haven't taken the time to learn. And here's what the Bible says is our responsibility. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know what that means? You have a responsibility, you freshmen, sophomore, juniors, seniors, to learn how to share the Bible with somebody. And you can. Now, don't be embarrassed by how many of you are over 18. Would you raise your hand? Now, you are over 18. If you've been saved for more than 1 year and you don't know how to win someone to the Lord, how come? You haven't taken the time to learn. And does everybody understand when God says study to show thyself, it's so we can be workmen, not so God can see how smart we are. How many think that God's ever going to be impressed with how smart we are? No, but what we can do is we can learn. And listen, here's a dear woman that accepted Jesus Christ not too long ago. And how many believe that this dear woman right here could be used to win another woman to the Lord? But it'll never happen if she doesn't learn how to do it. And I know she's already doing that and learning how to do that. Here's a man not too long ago been saved. How many believe that this man could do big things for God? Amen. But the only way it's going to happen, sir, and you've experienced that privilege to do this thing, is you take the time to learn how to do it. Here's a young man right here in a yellow shirt. He's extremely handsome, like me. Now, how many believe that this young man in the yellow shirt could do something big for God? How old are you? 9 years old. My brother, again, was in second grade when he surrendered his life to be a missionary. He spent 20 years on the mission field. And you know what he was taught? Don't waste your life on dumb things. Don't waste your life on things that aren't going to matter. And somehow, we've got to get the thinking in us that we could do something. Now, how many lives do we have? One. And we want to make our lives count. How many weeks do we have in a year? 52, and we want to make them count. How many days in a year? 365, we want to make them count. And we don't want to waste our time. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, each of us has potential, and then we have to develop it. Now, second thought here is where are we going to direct it? All right, now please notice what it says here in verse 17. Verse 16. He that received the five talents went and traded with the same. He did something with it. He directed it into the bank. Verse 17, he that received two, he also gained other two. He did something directing it into a profitable thing, so he got a profit from it. And then the picture of verse 18, he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now he directed it into the earth. Now that's a picture of somebody who really is going to heaven, but he lives his entire life for this place instead of that place. Now question, when life is done, where will you have wanted to direct your life? Now, how many of you can ever remember a time when you look back in your athletic career? And in your athletic career, though it's now long gone, you can remember thinking, man, I know that soccer season's coming up, and I got to get ready for it. So you got 3 months. And in one summer, I can remember, I got 3 months. And I got to be ready for soccer season. You know what I did? We lived out in the country, and it was like a 3.5 mile track, our block, sort of like your area. And I remember jogging the block, and my brother Dan jogging it with me. And we worked at it. My brother Paul, we didn't have a lot of time. We had a lot of time to get ready, but I remember my brother Paul saying, hey, I'm going to be in shape for soccer season. And you know what he did? He redeemed the time. And in the summer, he, Dale Harper, I remember them jogging to church, then jogging back. It was a 12 and a half mile trip to church and a 12 and a half mile trip back. And they were saying that we are going to do something with this time that we've got, and they directed it into getting in shape. Now, there was another time when I was on the season track team, and I knew over Christmas vacation that at the end, when I come back, there would be a track meet. And do you know what I did over Christmas vacation? I took a siesta, and then I ate, and then I ate, and I did not jog one time. The tournament came, and you know where I ended up? In the back, needing someone to give me hyperventilation. I was hyperventilating. I needed somebody to help me to stay alive. Now, I did not direct my opportunity into something profitable. Now, I'm saying something 1,000 times more important is that when we die, we will have wanted to direct our life into the bank of heaven. Now, where are you directing your life? You say, well, I'm paying the bills. I've got to pay the bills. Well, I got to clean the house. Well, I got to do this, and I got to do that. All right, how many of you, again, can remember one soul, not scolding you, trying to bring us to something that we all think we really need to get to but aren't getting around to? How many of you can think of one person that you led to the Lord in 2017, not scolding you? But I guarantee you that we would have probably less than 10 people in this room. Now that might be a little bit wrong. Maybe there's 20, but I'm telling you, we've got a whole room of people that could do something for God. Am I right? Now, then we ask how many in this room would want to have led somebody to the Lord if you could. And you know what we'd probably come up with? At least 80%. Now there might be a 20% that doesn't really care yet, and I hope that the light bulb will come on and you'll say, hey, this does matter, and it does care to me. But we've got so many people that have this idea, I want to get around to it, but don't get around to it. Now, we're in control what we do with our time. And the Bible says, do something that counts for eternity. Now, if you put your energy into the things of God, what will the master do? First, you will be rewarded. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. I will make thee ruler over many things. And there's a picture of reward. Now, I believe with all my heart that Brother Jerry, though he didn't do it for this purpose, is going to be rewarded for putting the door in downstairs last time I was here. I believe, though he didn't do it for that purpose, that God took note and wrote down, I will reward him for his faithfulness. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm not just talking, I believe anybody who sweeps the floor, does the nursery, and does it with the right attitude, for the good of man and the glory of God, gets rewarded. And I believe that any young person that goes with the youth pastor and knocks on the door, not to be a show-off, but to sincerely love people to try to win them to the Lord, they get rewarded whether the person gets saved or not. And there's not a thing that we do that our master doesn't reward. If you believe in the master. If you believe he's there. Well, we do. If we don't, then why would we waste our time? Even coming to church. Now, I am a 110% believer in the existence of God. And I am a 110% believer in the judgment seat of Christ. And one day we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things that he hath done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Now, the word good, some people think, means profitable, and the word bad, some people think it means worthless, and they don't believe that it means sinful or evil. Now, let me just tell you something. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I have studied Greek. I took 2 years of it, and I got A's. And I know enough that I know what I'm talking about. I don't understand how it works, but I do know this. In the Textus Receptus, from which we get our King James Version, the word bad is the word phallos. The word in the Westcott and Hort is different. Now, in the Westcott and Hort, it is the idea of worthless. In the Textus Receptus, it's intrinsic evil. And you know what that means? If you're a person who's born again and you're living in sin, I don't know how God's going to let you into heaven, but he will. And I don't know how God's going to hold you accountable for the sin you do while he lets you into heaven. I don't know, but he will. And you will stand before God and you'll give an account if you lived your life in sin. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade man. You know what that means? You don't want to show up a disobedient Christian. And you can do something about that. But then that word sometimes is associated with the word worthless. And you know what that means? There's a possibility that we could go through our life and we could just live a worthless life. Now, we want our life to count. Amen? Now, we each have potential. If we serve the Lord, it will be rewarded. It will please the master. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And it is profitable. He turned 5 into 10. He turned 2 into 4. And anything that we do for the Lord is profitable. Now, how many of you have ever gone soul winning, and when you knock on a door or when you talk to somebody, they did not get saved? Would you? Now, did you feel like, well, that didn't accomplish anything? Well, we knocked on all these doors and nobody even opened the door. All we did was put a track on the door. Well, that didn't accomplish anything. Yes, it did. Did you know that when you put a track on a door, that you make whoever picked up that track see Open Door Baptist Church? Did you know that? And when they see Open Door Baptist Church, whether they're Baptist, whether they're not, you know what they think of? God. And you know how people get brought back to God? They have to start thinking about God. You know how people get saved? They have to start thinking about God. And if you think that your gospel tracts or your church brochures don't make a difference, they do. I can remember going into a Chevy dealer when I bought my Chevy truck, and not my Ford truck, my Chevy truck. And I went in, bought this great truck, not a Ford truck, and I bought this great truck, and when I got this thing, I'm sitting in this brand new F, no, that was the truck I had to sell. It didn't, those brakes didn't work, the injectors kept going. So I got out of that thing, and I got a Chevy. And so I'm sitting there in the Chevy truck, Chevy Silverado, 3500 crew cab dually dream machine truck. And as I'm sitting there, this guy comes in to tell me about all the amazing features of that truck. I had no idea that thing can fly to the moon. And so when I'm sitting in that truck and he's telling me it goes to Mars, it goes to the moon, it gets a raise, and this thing can make you walk on water and all of this stuff, then I look at him and he looks at me and he says, "Why do you have such a big truck anyway?" I said, "Well, I'm a preacher. Travel around the country and I do revival meetings. I have a big truck to pull." And he goes, "Oh, you're a preacher, huh?" And listen to this. He said, "You must have put this in the bathroom." You know what I did when I went inside the restroom? I put a gospel tract on the counter. So he picked it up. I said, "Yeah, I put it in the bathroom." "Yeah." And I said, "Do you know if you die, you'd go to heaven? Do you see that? The gospel tract gave me the opportunity to ask him that question. Do you see it?" What did God use? Gospel tract. Now the story doesn't end there. Then he says, "No, I don't know I'm going to heaven. That's why I picked this up." You know what that showed me? He was looking for answers. And then I've had three meals with him already. I've gone through the gospel with him. And whenever I'm in his area, I go over to the dealership and we try to talk. I don't get there every time, but I often go out and we talk. And I'm working on him, and it all started with the gospel track. I can remember going into a restaurant one time with one of the men who was on staff over at a Christian camp where I was preaching, and I just said, "Tell me when you got saved." Listen, boys, he said, "Well, I was walking into this exact restaurant, and when I walked into this restaurant, walking in, when someone else was walking out, and they handed a piece of paper to my wife. She looked at it and goes, 'Hmm.' Handed it back to me. I looked at it and went, 'Hmm.' And I stuck it in my pocket. A little bit later on, I saw that and I pulled it out and it said, 'God's simple plan of salvation.' I laid it next to a light in my room. One day I couldn't throw that thing away. 'God's simple plan of salvation. God's simple plan of salvation. God's simple plan of salvation.' And days later, I thought, I better read that." And he accepted Jesus because somebody gave him that gospel track. Now, anything that you do for God, I'm telling you, if you will get at it, it will be rewarded. It will be profitable, and it will be pleasing to the Master. And anyone in this room who wants to can do something for God. And we've got to somehow mobilize all of us. Now, how are we going to be used? We're going to have to learn. How do we learn? We choose to learn. We choose to take a soul-winning course. We choose to do it. And we don't just sit in that class. We get concerned that we can do it, not just we went through a class. And if we go through the class and we don't get it, we take the class again. Now, how many of you felt like when you were studying so that you could be prepared for life, there were some things that were important enough that you just didn't care about getting the grade, you wanted to get the knowledge? Amen? Well, this is knowledge that we all need to get. Because if we don't get this, we can't help people. Now, the last thing I want you to look at is kinetic energy. Now, back at Matthew 25, it says that he said, "He that traded with the same made other five." He turned five into ten. He traded with it. He did something with it. Now, this is an example of being kinetic. Kinetic. He didn't just bury it in the ground. It was, he did something with it. Now, the illustration is we had the battery. We hooked it up with wires to light bulb. It was sitting there in the battery, potential, connected the switch, transferred the potential from the battery to the light bulb, and it illuminated the light bulb. It became kinetic. And there's a great illustration of what we can do. Now, boys, you can win someone to Christ at your age. Elderly, you can win someone to Christ at your age. You may never win anyone to Christ Because technically, God is the one who does the saving, and he does the drawing, but he uses us. And even if you don't win someone to Christ, but you do plant, is that worth doing? You water, is that good? Somebody else reaps, is that fine? And we're laborers together, but we've got to be laborers. And so God help us. We don't need a soldier, we need an army. Now, I remember when I was a boy, I used to play with a light switch, and I would play with a light switch, and Mom would say, don't play with a light switch. And I would sneak around, and I'd play with that light switch. And I don't know how Mom ever found out, but she found out, and I got spankings. Maybe it was a light going on and off, on and off, on and off. So anyway, she'd say, don't play with the light switch. But I used to love it. You know why? You can turn it on, and you could turn it off, and you could turn it on, and you could turn it off. And wow, I could do that. And it was like, whoa. You know what I learned about my life for the Lord? I can direct my energy into something important, or I could just let it waste. I can turn the light on, I could leave it off. I could turn it on, I could leave it off. I could turn it on, I could leave it off. And it's a whole lot more rewarding when you turn it on. God says, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Turn it on. Turn it on. Turn it on. Turn it on. Let it shine. Make it happen. Ask God how, and then turn it on. And he'll make you opportunities, but you turn it on. Now, I remember the first time I turned it on, not that I'm the example, but the first time I can remember, I told some of the young people, I was at Limestone Grade School, maybe kindergarten or first grade, and I'm swinging on a swing, and I'm next to a kid over here swinging. His name's Mark, and I thought, I wonder if Mark's saved. It's like God said, well, ask him. That wasn't too hard. And so I went over and I said, hey, Mark, can I talk to you? He said, sure. And so we went over next to the dumpster and I said, Mark, are you going to heaven? He said, I don't know. I said, well, you want to know? He says, well, sure. I said, can I show you? He says, well, sure. And so the best I could, I told him how to be saved. And he asked Jesus to save him. I loved it. I took him to Bible school with me. And I said, this is my friend Mark. And he got saved. And I loved it, and I wanted to get another one. And I remember going to my dad, and I said, I'm going to go witness to Tim Panazzo. He was the bad boy in the block, the bully on the block, who always beat us up. My dad said, guys like Tim don't get saved. I said, well, I'm going to witness to him anyway. So I witnessed to him. I took him in the backyard, sat down, and I said, Tim, you going to heaven? He said, I don't know. I said, do you want to know? He says, sure. I said, can I tell you how? He said, okay. So I told him how to get saved, and Tim Panazzo got saved. Now, I don't know if he really got saved. He still beat me up. But I loved it. I remember being a little older. I was with a couple friends from the church in their backyard. We were playing football, maybe sixth grade. And I remember a couple friends came by to play football, and I said, do you think your friends are going to heaven? He said, I don't know. I said, let's ask them. We asked them, and we led those guys to the Lord. And I loved it. I remember doing that all through high school. I had people that I wrote down in my Bible that I was praying for. And I won them to the Lord, and I put the date that they got saved. And I'm not saying I won everybody. I didn't. But I got on a bus ministry, and I loved it. And I turned the light on. And I'm telling you, you want something exciting? Instead of watching cartoons on Saturday, get up and go to a bus ministry. Go help some kids. You'll love it. And then I went to Bob Jones. And when I was at Bible college, I was challenged to D.L. Moody. He shared his faith every day. So I thought, well, I'm going to go on my 3 weeks of vacation. I'm going to share my faith once a day. And I went out, told someone about Jesus every day. I don't even remember how many got saved, but I had the best Christmas vacation I ever had. And the last day came, and I was out with some of my friends, and I just hung out till 2 o'clock or so in the morning, and then I went home to the house where I was staying with the Lang family, and Mrs. Lang met me at the door. She says, Mike, you've been out kind of late. I said, yes, thanks for letting me stay out a little later tonight. And I said, we had a great time. She said, well, I'm glad you had a good time. But then Mrs. Lang said, now, Mike, remember your promise you made to God about witnessing to somebody once a day? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, did you witness to anybody today? I go, I forgot. Because I was so thinking this is my last day out with my friends. Now, was it a sin to not witness that day? I don't think so. You forget. It's not a sin to forget. But Mrs. Lang said, you made a promise. You need to go witness. I said, Mrs. Lang, it's after 2 o'clock. She said, I don't care what time it is. Get back out there. I said, okay, Mrs. Lang, you're in charge. And I went out and I found somebody walking down the street and I shared the gospel with him. And you know what? We can turn our light on. You say, I've never witnessed anybody before. There has to be a time you start. Well, I don't know what to say. Just say what you know and then learn more so you know more. Don't wait till you know it all. You never know it all. Just go with what you have and then learn more so you can be more effective. And I'm telling us, I'm challenging us. I know that it sounds like I'm just trying to get someone to be a soul winner. I am telling us, and I wish I could look eyeball to eyeball with every one of you, from the very front to the young song leader here who's going to be a professional evangelistic song leader one day, to this dear lady who's been saved about a year, maybe two, all over here, Miss Brown, shortest lady in the church, go all the way around here to Dunkin' Donuts Woman of the Year, and work our way over here to the young man just had a Bible study over here. A young man gave his life back to God, what, three years ago, and is going full throttle. And we go all the way to the very back, and we talk to the man who is the sickest, to the man who is the burliest, the youngest child to the oldest in the room, and all in between. Let's turn our energy on. And there's nothing more exciting than being a light. I wish every one of us would do it. And some of us think, well, you're trying to get a soldier. No, in the words of D.L. Moody, we don't need a soldier. We need an army. We need an army. And if you cannot remember the last time you ever won a soul to Christ, I challenge you, don't let that be your life. Let's see what we can do. It's exciting. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you could keep somebody from going to hell, would you want to? If you could keep somebody going to hell, would you want to? Now, I will say this. If you're changing your lifestyle and getting right with God would keep somebody else from going to hell, would you do it? I will tell you this. If you're not right with God, your lifestyle could put somebody in hell. You say, no, it couldn't. God says it can. God says it can. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of a believer in word, conversation, and charity, and spirit, and faith, and in purity. Bible talks about giving the enemies of God cause to blaspheme. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, it got all dirty. It's henceforth good for nothing. And that doesn't mean not loved. It means not effective. Let's make our lives count. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many of you this evening could say, I may not be everything I should be, but I definitely am saved, and I'm definitely loved. I'm still a child, no matter what. If you'd say, I know I'm in the family of God, would you slip up your hand if you're sure you're born again? All right, thank you. You can put your hands down. There are some of you that could not raise your hand, and I want to ask you this, as the pianist softly plays, though I did not preach on it. While we're trying to keep people from going to hell by using our energies to tell people about Jesus, we also want you to be in heaven. There are two places where people go. There's a heaven, there's a hell, and there's no hint of purgatory. Nowhere. Not even a hint. It's not in the Bible. It's just not. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And when life is done, it will be heaven for you or hell for you, and God does not want you in hell. So is there anybody who would say, I want to go to heaven, but I don't know I'm going there. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you lift up a hand? If that's you, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? I won't say your name, where you're sitting, just pray for you. Anybody like that, just slip up the hand. Anybody. All right, I saw some that couldn't raise your hand. If you don't know you're going to heaven, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. And there are people that can help you. We could help you. If you just come back and hear the word, tomorrow I'm preaching about Christ's return, and on Friday I'm going to preach it, if the Lord allows me, on how to go to heaven when you die. Just come back and hear more. Now, how many of you would say, Brother Mike, I'm a Christian, but not only am I a Christian, the best I know, I'm right with God. Now, you're not perfect like I'm not. But there's no unconfessed sin. You're not away from God. You're walking with God. The best you know, I'm right with God. If you can say that, would you lift up your hand? And you're not bragging, you're grateful. Thank you, you can put your hands down. Now, is there anybody here who couldn't raise your hand and you're definitely a believer? Then let me tell you what the Bible says about you. Are you listening? You can say blah, blah, blah. It's not true. But are you listening? It's true. If you're a child of God and you're not right with Him, this is true. You're completely loved. You're completely loved. God hasn't stopped loving you. And He wants you to come back. And you're putting all your life into something you're going to regret. Seriously. Isn't it time to get right with God? You don't want to stand at the judgment having been somebody not right with God. And I want to ask you, who is loved? Are you right with God? If you're not, don't you think it's time to get right with Him? So who would say, Brother Mike, I'm here, I'm not right with God, I'm encouraged that I'm loved by God. But I need to get right with God that loves me. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? I'm a Christian, not right with God, but I need to get right with Him. God bless you there. God bless you here. God bless you there. God bless you here. Amen. Amen. Now, the final question, you that just raised your hand, can I encourage you just to start praying where you're sitting and just focus on that for now. Focus on that for now. Talk to the Lord about that. Now, how many of you say, Brother Mike, I needed this message about being one who uses my talent for God. I have not been using my ability like I could. And you could say, Brother Mike, pray for me. I want to start turning my energy on more often than I've been turning it on for the Lord. Would you just slip up your hand if you say, count me in, count me in, count me in, count me in. God bless you all across the room. Count me in, count me in. God bless you. Amen. Start tomorrow somehow. In a little way, start tomorrow or maybe tonight before you go to bed. Turn it on some small way. Make it count. And we'll see how many things are done by all the lights in this room, the people that are the light of the world in one 24-hour period. And maybe we'll even take testimonies of what maybe God did through us all tomorrow night. Now, one more question. Important. How many would say, Brother Mike, I want to take the challenge to develop my potential. I'm taking piano. I'm going to try harder. I'm taking an instrument. I'm going to be more dedicated. Or I don't know how to win someone to Christ, but I'm going to learn. And if I don't get it, I'm going to take a class. And if I don't get it, I'm going to study again and learn till I can have the knowledge to help other people. Not to brag, but to serve. If you say, I'm going to take the challenge of developing my potential, would you slip up your hand if God's speaking to you about that? Good, 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 good. Don't forget. Don't forget. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. And I'm going to have an opportunity now. If you want to turn your energies on, if you'd all look up this way, I'm going to do something a little bit unusual. I haven't done this all week, but tonight I want to. I think there's some things that we ought to make a definite commitment to. And I think serving God is one of those things. And developing our potential, even if it's I'm going to practice piano harder. Even if it's that. I think it'd be worth us just leaving our seat, coming, and if you can kneel at the front, kneel over here, have a 10 to 15 second prayer to the Lord. It'll do your heart good. And then pray and return to your seat. Say, God, I'm going to dedicate myself to turning my energies on. God, I don't want to waste another day. Or I got to develop this potential. I haven't been doing my best in this. Lord, I don't know how to win a soul, but I want to learn. I think if many of you would just slip forward, have a brief word of prayer with the Lord, it would be a helpful thing for your soul. And then we'll close the evening service. So let's bow our heads, but those who want to come, you just come and have a brief word of prayer while Greg sings a couple verses. Just slip out, come right now. Even if you're the only one who comes, I think at least several will come. That's right, just come and, Lord, I'm going to rededicate, I'm going to refocus. I like to get on a knee by a pew. I'm going to refocus, rededicate. I'm going to get my focus. I'm going to learn the Bible verses. And if you don't come forward, you can pray right where you're at and don't feel bad. But if it does your heart good to come, you come. God bless you. Just have a brief word of prayer, making a public commitment to this thing. That's right, just 20, 30 seconds, nail it down, then return to your seat. God bless you, just come, have a word of prayer, then return to your seat. You can still come. It's not too late if you want to just slip out, have a 20-second prayer.